Now, new rules are to come into force after the next election, restricting MPs from employing spouses or relatives. At the moment, there are about 150 MPs who employ spouses or family members, but the new rules will only affect newly elected MPs after 2020. The Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority said it had not brought this in because there had been rules broken or inappropriate claims, but because the practice of employing connected parties is out of step with modern employment practices. Now, remember, this will only apply to new MPs. Should it apply to those MPs who are already in? Have a listen to this. I've been speaking to a Conservative MP called Bob Blackman, who employs his wife Nicola as his office manager.
My wife, having worked as the PA to the chief executives of three different public companies, been involved in running a recruitment company, and also having run three offices as the office manager, is uniquely qualified to do that job. And I regard it as, I deeply resent the implications from IPSA that in somehow, shape or form, she's not qualified to do the job.
Yeah, she
I
might,
think that's outrageous.
Well, she might be qualified.
They're totally out of touch
she might
with
be,
reality.
She might be qualified, Bob, to do the job. But,
yeah.
But surely she's not uniquely qualified. There will be other people with similar qualifications. I'm not saying that she's not qualified. I'm
they
saying
would
that
demand enormously high salaries to do the jobs that we ask them to do. We ask particularly connected parties to be available 7 days a week to do the to help us in the jobs that we do, to manage our offices. Different MPs obviously run their offices in a different way. We are small businesses with, I mean, my team is, I have basically three full-time members of staff, two part-time members of staff. We are a very, very busy office, and we have 80,000 customers which we have to serve. And they expect us to operate. As an MP, I operate 7 days a week, not the limited office hours that these luxurious people in IPSA operate and have no concept of what MPs do at all.
So how much do you pay your wife for that seven-day-a-week job?
With due respect, we declare the position on the record, and that's the publicly quoted figure.
Sure, and how much is it?
No, that's the publicly quoted figure. If you want to, you can look it up on the website. It's publicly declared for everyone.
Why wouldn't you tell us now?
No, because I don't believe it's right to reveal the salaries of any of my employees.
But it's public money, and it's on the public record.
No, I don't think it's right. No, I'm sorry. I don't think that's right. The reality is that it's the going rate for the job. It's the rate at which IPSA have dictated that office managers or any other members of staff for that grade should be paid.
Surely what you're saying so far is it's not the going rate for the job. It's below the going rate for the job.
If you talk to MP staff generally, we pay below the going rates for equivalent staff in London. They come to work for us because they want to work in a political atmosphere. But I'm afraid we pay very poorly compared to the average London rates. I think actually, if you looked at the figures, and I'm not going to go into all the details of all the staff that are paid in working for MPs, but basically they're paid way under what they would get in the equivalent private sector.
But the argument goes, Bob, doesn't it? The counter-argument goes that someone else with similar qualifications who would be prepared to accept a similar pay packet, they have no chance of working for you. You're keeping it in the family. How can that be right?
No, the reality is that it would be just direct discrimination against the best person qualified to do the job.
But you're determining your wife is the best person for the job.
And I'm the employer.
But
I'm the employer. The fact is,
but you're clearly not making an arm's length decision, would be IPSA's position. You're clearly favoritising your wife.
No,
favouring
I,
your wife.
Well, several issues apply here. First is, obviously, we are requiring a particular member of staff, and I can accept that you don't employ the whole of your family to do the jobs, but I think it's right that we should have a position of one connected individual to be able to do the job that we need them to do 7 days a week, if that's what we need them to
do. But you can get someone else to do the job.
Really?
The point is, can you test that? Can you do why not do a fair board and allow other people to apply? Possibly.
Yeah,
possibly remove yourself, given the interest that you have. Clearly,
Well, clearly you would not replace yourself because you are the employer, and you are the one that has to work with people all the time and make sure that you have to trust the person that's working to
you.
You
must be able to trust people other than your wife.
Indeed, I do.
So that's not a prerequisite.
But it is a prerequisite. You have to be able to trust all the individuals that are working.
Okay,
for
and just
you.
Just so, so that, the just so I'm clear is, about this, why not
clear,
allow other people to apply, and at least then see what else is on offer?
Well, if there was a vacancy, then clearly that would be the case.
There's not a vacancy because you hand it to your wife.
Yeah, but the reality is that even under these new rules, my wife could go and work for another MP who would be delighted to employ her, and I could employ his wife to work for me as the office manager. So actually, they're not actually doing anything at all.
But why would you do that? Why wouldn't you see who else is out there?
I wouldn't, because
there might be someone prepared to do it cheaper than your wife.
Well, I mean, for a start, when you advertise a job, you advertise it at a particular going rate with the conditions of service. I suspect that if you advertise a job that said, well, I may require you to work 7 days a week without notice to do the work that I require on Saturdays, Sundays, and during the normal working week, that I would not get very many people applying.
But you don't know because you haven't tested it.
Well, indeed. But then we freely advertise all the other posts, and I can tell you that we struggle to fill the posts that we have.
But why do you freely advertise the other posts and not this one?
Well, because I choose to operate someone who I know is highly competent to do the job
that I
need
them to do. But it's not your money. It's the public's money.
No, but the public give me money to actually service the public in a way that I envisage as being the best way to provide the service that I do 7 days a week.
You think the public give you money to give to your wife?
No, the public give me money to service them on their behalf as constituents. And you know, I'm very happy for any constituent who has a concern about that particular aspect to come down and sit with me, and I'm very happy to talk it through.
But clearly you would be biased.
Clearly I'm biased because I've got a job to do that most people do not understand the pressure of being an MP, the amount of work we do, as I say, 7 days a week, servicing our constituents, and therefore we are, and as I say, I keep coming back to this, we are small businesses who are choosing to employ the people that we want to employ to do the jobs
yes,
that we have.
In most
and
others-
by the way,
But the difference is this, Bob, that you're missing out. In most other small businesses, they are self-employed. They are generating profit themselves. They are not taking public money. They're creating wealth for themselves. You're being handed public money and you're a closed shop for that one position.
Well,
you're not allowing anyone else to apply. And essentially you're saying there's no one better than your wife in the whole country to even apply for the job.
When I was elected in 2010...
And you won't even tell us how much our public money is being given to your wife.
No, as I say, that's a matter of public record.
Well, why wouldn't you say it out loud?
In 2010, when I was elected to Parliament, I arrived in Parliament on the first day I was there, and I said, what do I do about staff? And I got the answer from the authorities to say, you employ whoever you choose on the salaries you choose, as long as you keep the contracts that IPSA issue. You could. And I said, what about human resources and equal opportunities policies? They said, we don't care about that. You employ whoever you like, and we don't give you advice or help. So the adverts that MPs issue, the control over people that are employed, are non-existent. So the reality is that we employ the people that we think are best suited. I happen to come from a background of business and managing staff and choosing to employ staff, and we do so absolutely professionally. My wife does the same thing, and I would defend that absolutely to the limit. And I think the reality is that all this is IPSA interfering in a process that they do not understand and frankly don't care about.
And one last time, it's so clear-cut that you're embarrassed to tell us how much public money your wife is being paid. Because you clearly won't tell us.
Because I think the point about this is that every employee's salary is a confidential matter.
It's not confidential. You've just said it's on public record.
Every staff member's salary is within a band, and it's all declared. That is as far
so
as
So what
we
band
need to go.
Is your wife on?
Well, she's on the office manager band.
Which is what?
Well, there's a range of pay that is a public record.
And what is that range? Can you say that number out loud?
It goes between £35,000 and £45,000, yeah.
It goes between what, sorry?
£35,000 and £45,000.
And is she on the higher end of that
or
the lower end?
No, that is the band that she's on.
It's public money.
It is also money that is allocated in a staffing budget for us to utilise to the maximum benefit.
And within that band, Bob, of £35,000 to £45,000, who decides whether she's worth 35 or 45? Her husband?
The Member of Parliament determines the salary levels that are applicable to the staff that are then employed to do the job.
So you decide, so public money, everyone listening to this programme tonight is paying for your wife to be an office manager, and their taxes are paying for your wife, and you decide, her husband decides, whether she's worth 35, 36 or 45.
That's exactly right. Because
and you're criticising IPSA for trying to create a little bit of distance with that.
No, I'm criticising IPSA because they should have no control over the salary rates as long as we're existing within the proper bands and who we choose to employ.
Sure, and this is
we have to have trust in people to do the job and employ the best people to do the job for us.
This is my last question. Can you rule out that you have paid your wife the maximum within that band?
But as I've said, I'm paying the within the band that IPSA provide for the job and the job description that is provided.
The question is, can you rule out paying her the maximum within that band? 0-30-30-80-55-55. What do you make of that then? He won't tell you how much he's paying his wife with your money. Brandon Lambeg, Dennis and Whitehead, Peter and Vinti. Dennis, let's start with you. Morning to you.
Morning, Stephen. This is the old merry-go-round again, Stephen, with these guys. You know, it's not all that long ago we had the expenses scandal, and then after that, IPSA's got involved in the business over how many family members they were employing, and some of them were employing three. They got that reduced, and now the taxpayer who's required to fund this with no input into it whatsoever, other than the scrutiny body that IPSA is simply paying a salary to someone who there's no selection process, who you don't know is the best person for the job, who has never been in a competition situation where they're competing for a job. How different is that to real life? How really different is that to real life?
Well, clearly his counter-argument is that in real life, the spouse is there and will work more because they're in the house when unpredictable demands come up because of the job, and therefore they will do more. They will work more. Better value for the taxpayer, he's arguing.
Is he? Well, if that there's the case, he can always hold a selection process with which his wife can apply to be interviewed with other people and set down that as the criteria on which, one of the criteria on which you're going to be considered for appointment. But at the minute, there is no criteria. There's no appointment. There's no panel. There's no anything. He decides and the taxpayer foots the bill. That's what we have at the moment.
And Ken next. Morning, Ken.
Hello. Good morning.
Go ahead, Ken. Yes, Ken.
Yeah. This business is a bit of a joke, like, isn't it, really, at the end of the day? You know, they've got their friends and family all signed up for the big gravy train, you know, of government. You know, I don't understand it. I mean, if it happened in real life, people would talk to me if I hired my wife working for the same firm.
So at the moment, there are 150 MPs who employ spouses or family members, and the new rules which are kicking in after 2020 will only apply to future MPs, not... So the MPs who are currently MPs, they'll continue on.
Yeah, but they'll carry on till they get their pensions, won't they? Here, by the way, does their wages and their things get expenses?
Ken, thank you. Peter, morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was just wondering there when the man said it was a 7-day-a-week job. If it were a 7-day-a-week job, can you explain the George Osborne situation, because I can't understand that.
What do you make of what he was saying? What his argument was there?
It's bare minimum. If it's a 7 day a week job, how can you have five other jobs? That doesn't make sense.
That's George Osborne, obviously, you're talking about. Thank you, Peter. John and Dunamina.
Dunamina, Mr. Nolan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nolan. Am I off the blacklist?
What are you talking about?
I haven't been on this show. People have been stopping me in the street saying, John, why aren't you in the Nolan show?
Well, that's a good thing if you're not on it.
Well, here we are. Right, we'll come to my point.
If I'd have known you were trying to get on this morning, you wouldn't have been on.
Is that right? Well, anyway, let us get to the crux of the matter. The interview done with the MP was very, very good. Very good interview done.
Thank you.
But, of course, you at the kettle calling the teapot black.
What are you talking about?
Because you yourself, Mr. Nolan, are receiving public money. And whenever the BBC will force your hand, and you'll have to tell the public of Northern Ireland how much you earn, then, you know, really...
What are you talking about?
Well, your salary. You won't tell the people of Northern Ireland your salary.
How many times am I going to explain this?
Excuse me. Don't be roaring and shouting down the phone at me, please. Have a wee bit of manners.
How many times am I going to have to explain this?
My point, please, they're golden at me. I'm not a politician. I'm a licensed fee payer. Please have manners and sit back in that large chair and let me make my point. The point is, you are there spending the public's money as well. You get public money. And we would need to know how much you get for the Nolan Show, how much you get for Radio 5 Live, how much you get for the TV appearances, and how much you get for, I think your company's called First Street Productions, who sell these films that you make to the BBC. We need to know all them figures before you can sit there in your large chair and pontificate to other people.
Why are you turning this on to me?
Because you are the man that sits, and you put that MP under serious pressure, and fair play. But really, you have no moral justification to do it. Because you yourself will not tell how much you earn.
How many times are we going to be round this merry-go-round?
Mr. Nolan, you yourself conducted an interview with, I think it was that.
Mr. Dunamina, listen to this.
Excuse me, but I'm not finishing my point, please.
Listen to this.
Please let me finish my point.
Just listen to this.
Listen to me 1 minute, please, and then you can finish your point. You carried out an interview with the BBC controller at the time. It was Sir John or Sir Michael Lyons. You've done a big interview, and
you have a memory like an elephant.
Yes, a good memory. And you said to Sir Michael Lyons that you couldn't reveal your salary, and Sir Michael Lyons says back to you, "Oh no, Stephen, you're wrong. You can reveal your salary certainly if you wish to."
He most certainly did not say that.
Well, I can tell you now, Mr. Only.
He did
not
say that. Stop making that up.
I'm making up nothing. Tell you, making up nothing at all. Tell you what, you take me to court and I'll win. Go back to your. Recordings.
Here's the score for about the 100th time.
Okay.
For about the 100th time.
Okay.
And indeed, this may be happening quite soon. It could be happening as soon as June of this year.
Brilliant, one of those two.
But the score is this. It is for the BBC as a corporation to decide whether they are going to publish the salaries that they pay their presenters.
They are going to publish them.
Right. Well, then it is for the BBC to do that. I have said, and I have always said, and I will say again today, I will not be resisting that. I will not be fighting that. If
you
the BBC,
can't resist it.
Of course, you can resist it.
You cannot. You can. We go to the court. Are you a special case? Oh, don't be putting my money out. Don't be telling the people what I earn.
But indeed, I'm saying completely
different to the rest of them.
Indeed, I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying I will not be resisting it.
You
but it is for.
Don't be something else. Had to put yourself on a moral high ground. You can't resist.
It is for the BBC to
Mr.
decide.
No, stop being the politician. I have to laugh at you. I will not resist.
Well, let me
just try to say to you.
Well, let
you
me
can't resist.
Let me explain how you're talking waffle. Okay. Because there's a confidentiality clause in the contracts, which means that you could at least attempt to resist. What I'm saying is, if the BBC decide to publish my salary, I will say, work away. I will not resist it in any way, shape or form.
Well,
what I am not...
Take it to high ground and say, here, look, before June, here is our people in Northern Ireland, I earn X, Y, Z.
Because the reason I'm not doing that is because the BBC, as my employer, are at this point in time asking us not to publish our salaries.
Sir Michael Lyons didn't mind when he was the BBC controller.
Sir Michael Lyons isn't here now. Stop talking nonsense.
And he didn't stop you. Whenever you interviewed him, he didn't stop you. He said, oh, no, Mike, or no, Stephen, you can tell
he
him.
Did not.
He did.
Alex wants to.
You call me a liar.
Alex wants to. I'm saying you're mistaken.
You're trying to call me a liar, and I'm not.
Your elephant memory might be mistaken.
Yeah, well, my elephant memory is not mistaken.
Alex, Alex wants to talk to you this morning. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephen. I listened to this last night on Five Live, by the way. I think whoever you're chatting with has got the whole thing completely wrong.
John and Dunamina.
Well, wherever he's from. It seems to me, rather not. Stephen, you don't have to defend your salary. You're not there to defend yourself at all. You've gone over this thing so many times it's boring. But the point is, you were talking about this man employing his wife without a competition. Without anybody else being allowed to try for the job, even to see if they are or are not. So what is he talking about?
Stephen, but Alex is a stooge. Is he a family member? Have you got one of your family members on to defend you?
Would you like to talk to Alex this morning?
Alex, yes, good morning, Alex. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Carry on.
Yes. The other day, Mr. Dole, as a public servant, he works for the British Broadcasting Corporation. Therefore, your licence fee and my licence fee is paying for his wages.
Okay.
Therefore, we have a right to know. Members of Parliament, they have to declare their wages, and they actually make the laws of the nation. So why should the BBC not reveal how much their presenters get for putting out sometimes rubbish and nonsense on the television?
Listen to you.
Pardon?
Go ahead, Alex.
Look, the discussion is not regarding Mr. Nolan's salary in any way.
It's regarding Mr. Nolan's salary. I'm making a Mr. Nolan's salary now. I'm making it that. And I guarantee a lot of the listeners down there will be saying, go for John, keep at him. Keep at him to get the wages of him.
Does he have a point, Alex, that in terms of, you know, you pay for the licence fee, therefore you're entitled to know how your money is spent? There's a similar argument, isn't there, to saying, look, we need to know how much MPs are paying spouses. He has a point, doesn't he?
Hang on, Stephen. The BBC get a fee to produce programmes and to pay salaries to the presenters, but the bulk of it obviously goes on programmes, preparing them, getting them, and getting them ready to push out. That's where the most money goes, and we need people to be able to present those things, such as yourself. So, and I don't agree with this nonsense. Everybody has to reveal their salary. That was a different issue. This was a character employing his wife for what reason? Because he thought she was the best one without anybody actually getting a chance. And by the way, the other... This thing about your salary has been going on and on for ages. It's a complete myth and nonsense.
But you see, I can't win, because if people come on and talk about it, if I stop them talking about it, then it'll be seen that I'm closing them down. So I've got to let them set.
Yeah, you do. But it must be frustrating. It's certainly boring for the listener frustrating for you, I've got
Alex,
no doubt.
The
BBC have told you that it's not confidential. End of story.
Excuse
if they want to write in, maybe to the BBC, they might get the same answer.
Excuse me, Mr. Nolan.
He's calling you a bore, John.
Mr. Nolan.
Yes.
Ask the listeners of your biggest show in the country, you asked your listeners this morning, throw it out there, open the phone line, say, how many people want to know how much you earn? Do that one. Alex is a bore. Alex, to me, sounds like the Toffee Nose Brigade. That's what Alex sounds like. He comes across as being very pompous sort of a man. Quite honest with you.
Paul next. Morning, Paul. Sorry about that, Alex. Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Stephen.
Yes, Paul.
I don't know what planet John's on, but...
He's in planet Dunamina.
I know, but the point is, your salary is your own personal affair. You entered a competition for the job you're in. You earned the job you're in. This politician, he just decided to employ his wife for reasons that best suit him and his wife. There's a subtle difference, because if your face doesn't fit in the BBC, you'd be out on your ass. That's the subtle difference.
Do you know Mr. Nolan went for competition to get the job?
Mr. Nolan, of course, he went in for competition to get the job.
How do you know?
How do I know? I know perfectly what happened to him.
Were you part of the panel that employed him?
No, I wasn't part of the panel.
What are you talking about? You're talking poo.
You're saying that there was people who employed him. Well, if they employed him, then he did sit on a competition for
Mr. Nolan, had you competition for the Nolan Show job at the very start? Mr. Nolan?
He had competition to get into the job he's in.
Mr. Nolan, stop being the DUP Sinn Féin approach, not answer the question, please. Mr. Nolan, did you have to sit on the panel to get the Nolan Show job?
No.
You were just handed to you then?
You what?
Was the job just handed to you?
There's one thing I can tell you, it wasn't handed to me.
Well, I can remember you in the BBC at the very start. You used to do this old stupid show about houses. You used to go around roaring and shouting and telling people to buy houses. That's a few years ago, right enough. Did you? And then suddenly you got the radio job. Did they reckon you were no good for TV?
I remember him before he worked in the BBC as well.
So did I.
If that's the case, what are you talking about? You're talking nonsense.
I'm not talking nonsense. You're talking
nonsense. Of course you're talking nonsense. You're sitting there telling me
that Mr. Rowan just walked to you. Oh, you had to sit this
I didn't.
Mr. Rowan won't tell
of course
me.
Of course he had to go into competition to get the job.
Mr. Rowan,
He didn't just walk through the doors of the BBC and get handed a job.
Mr. Rowan,
that does not happen. You have to be a politician for that to happen.
Mr. Rowan, who was your competition?
There was a man in this building just last week, that it comes to mind, and he said hello, Stephen, to me, and I looked at him, because 10 years ago when I was trying to get into the BBC, I said hello to him and he turned his back. Have you any idea how difficult it is to get into this organisation?
Well, let me tell you this, Mr. Rowan, here's a question for the BBC. Here's one for the BBC. Do you see the number of old presenters that do the news line? You know BBC Newsline at night.
Yes, very successful programme it is
very
too.
Very successful programme. There are not too many Protestants on it.
Oh, for goodness sake, don't start that.
There's not too many
Protestants. Don't start that. Don't start that rubbish. Don't start that, for goodness sake.
John, you just showed yourself up to be a wee bigot.
Don't start that.
You just showed yourself up to be a wee bigot, John.
Right.
I'm a big bigot.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you are a big bigot.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Alex. Enough. 10 o'clock news comes next.